I preach here, so it's kind of overwhelming. Okay, today we were going to share the Acts 11, 1 to 19. So we're not going to have people to read the scripture, because it will be described in the sermon. This is last week of 2025. Like usually the last week, last sermon, we talk about what's happening in the last year and think about what God has done for us, which is true, because in the last while, we celebrate our church from the old church to new church. And for the 55 years, the Lord has been good to us. They are faithful. The Lord is faithful and bless our church. I remember when I first came to this church, I came here in 1999. That's probably before you were born, some of you. So in 2005, we talked about building the church. And at that time, the budget was $6 million. It's a lot of money. But when we actually built it, guess how much? $17 million. But this year, thanks to the Lord's graciousness and faithfulness of the brothers and sisters, we're mortgage free. Praise the Lord. And then I thought, this is wonderful blessing from the Lord for this church. For this church, the Lord bless us with a wonderful building, a wonderful group of brothers and sisters. And then I thought, what does the Lord bless us for? How are we going to respond to this? When the scripture I'm going to share today was about Peter. Peter had a life-changing experience from the Lord. He says, now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentile also had received the work of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, they criticized him, saying, you went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them. It's a really strange response from the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And you think that with all these brothers and sisters, they had just experienced the feeling of the Spirit in Pentecostal, and they had witnessed people came to the Lord in Jerusalem, 5,000, 4,000, a lot of people came to the Lord. Why do they say that? They say that because they were not totally changed. They are still living in the past, living in the tradition. Yes, they got the new message from the Lord. They believe in Jesus Christ. They are saved. But a lot of their life was still the same because they allowed themselves to be limited by the tradition. I'm not sure you remember this movie. It was way before your time. Only 2 minutes. It's a very, very old movie.
A fiddler on the roof. Sounds crazy, no? But here, in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition! Traditions. We've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our tradition, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Tradition make us balanced. In our church, we have 55 years, and we have a lot of traditions, and they give, we have organization and everything. Make us balanced. But sometimes, you know what balance says? When you're balanced, what's the number you got? Zero. If it's positive, negative, put it together, you got nothing. You want to move forward, you need to unbalanced. What God did to Peter in this scripture is that God said, give Peter a vision. Peter said, I observe animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. The Lord wants to change this balance. Peter was still living on the tradition, and he only preached to the Gentiles, not to the Jews, preached people that he knew. People lived like him. But one day, the Lord just grabbed this big sheet of cloth and ram it in front of him. I say, Peter, look, eat this. Peter said, no, not good at it. Actually, this is a tame version. The best version is like this, right? And like this, like just spread it in front of Peter. Eat this, scorpions, earthworms. Have you ever eaten earthworm? I did, it's called honey stick. I was in Beijing and street food, and then because this guy was selling this stick, and then I bought it and ate it and ate it, and it's really sweet. I never knew what it was, but actually it was after that the guy showed me how they make them. Actually, there was a big tray of earthworms in the back, and then they're all soaked in honey. So the earthworms still alive, so they will suck in all the honey and get rid of all the dirty things in there, and then they just fry the earthworm. And then it was a honey stick, right? Peter, look at this thing. It was a shock. It's a shock treatment, right? And when you see these things, Peter said, no, Lord, I will touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. But the Lord wants Peter to rethink his life. What you get used to live, when you change, your life is changed. When you became a Christian, when one day when you kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I accept you as my Savior. I would live like you wanted me to live. I will follow you all my life. When that moment that you made them, your life changed. You no longer live in the past. Like the guy said, tradition. Always said, then tradition is limit how you do things. Tradition limit how you operate, how you live for the Lord. But the Lord said, just as we young, this big cross paper say, Peter, look at this. You need to change. You need to change. So when we look at our own lives, we need the new year that came. And how are you going to live in this new year? In the past 55 years, our church was really blessed by the Lord. We did a lot of things. We organized. We grew. And we had some missions. But is that enough? Is that enough? In 2026, when we move forward from the old time, from the last 55 years, the time that the Lord bless us, how are we going to start again for a new direction? We had our church, we had the sermons, we had, for the last while, we were talking about all these new directions. How are we going to do that? The Lord talked to Peter and said, look, these things, if I bless them, they are no longer unclean. If I bless them, they are mine. The Lord bless you. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. But the Lord bless you. The Lord cleanse you. The Lord makes you holy. Now the Lord said, can you go out and make other people holy? Can you go out and go out of this place and do it? The Lord want Peter to rethink his life, to look up so that he know God more. Peter was a Jew. The Jewish people, they called themselves what? The chosen people. Why chosen? Chosen for what? Chosen for what? Why did they call themselves chosen people? Why did God choose them? In Genesis, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you, all the family of the earth shall be blessed. And in you, that is what chosen means. The Lord don't choose you just to sit here. The Lord don't choose you just to enjoy the blessing. The Lord chose you so that you can be a blessing. The Lord want Peter to look up. Look up to God and say, God, I know who you are. I know your love. I know you love everyone. For those, even for the lowliest people, God loved them. So Peter had to change to know God. And in 2 Peter it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That is our God. That is our God. That is our God. He wants people, every single one of them, just like the sheet of paper, the sheet of animals, the lowest, including the scorpions, including the earthworms, including the cockroaches. That's a cockroach that's quite tasty if you want to try it. Like all those things, including the lowliest people, God wants them. God wants Peter to be able to reach out. Peter, God wants Peter to know that is his heart. And also, God wants Peter to remember, to look within himself so that he can be amazed that about God's grace to you. Don't forget, we were once lowly people. Don't forget, we were once sinners. And in Ephesians it says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. The Lord lavished his grace in Peter and in you. So when we are enjoying this richness, that Jesus said, I came so that people can live abundant life. So Peter and you and us need to look into ourselves. That when Paul looked into himself, he was amazed. He was totally amazed. Said, what kind of person I have become? What kind of person have I become? I was a sinner. I was persecuting the Christians. I thought I was righteous, but I'm not. I wasn't. So in 1 Corinthians 10, it said, by the grace of God, I'm what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. God changed you. Have you ever thought of that? I was amazed when I was preaching on stage. I look at every single one of them, a single one of the you guys, and I'm just wonderful. I said, it's so wonderful that every single one of us sit here and actually were saved. Not that I said that you shouldn't be saved. I said, everyone should be saved. I'm just wondering that God's grace was so great that when we're here, we change every one of the life. I wish one day I can sit down with every single one of you too, that you can share your life with me so that I can be amazed. So I can be, I say, well, praise the Lord, they change you. The Lord changed you. When every single one of you that have a new life, God wants Peter to actually look into himself. When Peter looked at all these cockroaches, all these scorpions, it was you before you have the new life. And so in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, a new creation. The new has come. New has come. When we were enjoying, we were living in God's grace every day. When we came to this church every week, when we enjoyed God's blessing, the Lord wants us to look around. Look around and understand that the Lord bless you because the Lord call you. The Lord give you a calling. Every single one of us, the Lord give us a calling. And this calling, this is a really, really familiar scripture. Can you all read it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that he might be saved through him. Really familiar. But have you ever thought of this scripture, what it actually means? Why did God say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through him? Do you know what the sentence means? That means if those guys, they did not receive the gospel, they will be condemned because they never heard of the gospel. For God so loved the world, not just you, not just the Chinese, not just the English, but every single one. When he say that God so loved the world, that means every single one of us. That is why he spread the cloth in front of Peter. Everyone on that sheet of cloth, God loved them. God loved them. For God so loved the world. He did not send his son to condemn, but send his son to save. Send his son, send you out to also to share the gospel, to share your life, to share the grace that God gave you. The calling, this is really familiar verse. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the world. The Lord said, I have one. And us, being his children, being his adopted children, we have all the power. They said, I have the authority for you to serve, for you to live, and you have the power to do that. So when Peter looked at that vision, Peter knew that his life had changed. That is why when he went into a Gentile's house, before he went into, I'm sure that it was a struggle. It was a struggle. Do I go in there or not? Is it not a clean house? It's lived by Gentiles. They ate those non-kosher food. They don't live the way I live. They don't talk the way I talk. They don't make friends the way I make friends. Do I go in there? But the Lord wants him to know that he loved the world. So he wanted him to go, get out, to go beyond his limitation and serve. So in the end of that scripture, he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remember the work of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Get out. Go beyond. Get out the tradition. Get out the limitation. That's what the sheet of cloth meant. So as we approach 2026, as we get out of this this last week, I would encourage you to look to the Lord and know what he wants and who God is, and look to himself and know God's blessing to you and how you respond to that blessing. And never get limited by whatever this you in the last past 10, 20, 50 years that the way that you live. So when Paul did the same thing, he said, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. The Lord encouraged Peter, gave him a new version, that the Lord loved, so loved the world. And the Lord wants us to get out, to break through the limitations, to break through this, what we call the traditions, that anything we do it for the gospel. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will walk with you. And this church needs to change to be a more vibrant, more open, more powerful group of people. Every time I look at I look at a group of people, I just imagine if every single one of us were moved, were became all things to all people for the sake of the gospel, this would be a powerful church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you that you give us a new vision, that you love this world. You love every single one of us, no matter who they are. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless us, you encourage us as we move over to 2026, that you would encourage us to serve you, to preach for you, to reach out for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let us all stand in response in song.